Yeah, I do want to talk about, go back through, just in touch on the first 8 verses, and then we'll get into the others, which will get us back into Matthew, which will get us here, there, and everywhere from Genesis to Revelation. So I hope you have, you're not tired today. And if I said, never mind, I won't go there. But we are going to talk about verse 18, 17 and 18 by themselves next week, because I think it's going to be a fun journey to study the rock by itself. So I'm just going to let you know that ahead of time, and we'll go from there. But let's pray. Father, we do. I just ask that you would just settle our hearts right now before you. Lord, the world's turning all the time, and it keeps moving. Sometimes at a pace faster than we can handle. But Lord, we ask that you would just settle us before you, that we would be still and calm and ready to receive what your Spirit has for us today. Lord, that you would just speak to us and reveal who you are even more to each of us today. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you like to read, please?
1-19.
Sure.
All right. Now it happened on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, that the chief priests and the scribes together with the elders confronted him and spoke to him, saying, "Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who is he who gave you this authority?" But he answered and he said to them, "I also will ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet." So they answered that they did not know where it was from. And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Then he began to tell the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard. Leased it to the vine dressers and went into a far country for a long time. Now, at vintage time, he went to a servant of the vine dressers that they might give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the vine dressers beat him and sent him away empty handed. Again, he sent another servant, and they beat him also, treated him shamefully, and sent him away empty-handed. And again, he sent a third, and they wounded him also, and cast him out. Then the owner of the vine vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Probably they will respect him when they see him." But when the vine dressers saw him, they reasoned amongst themselves, saying, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him. Then the inheritance may be ours." So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, "Certainly not." Then he looked at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Whoever falls on that stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind into powder." And the chief priests and the scribes that very hour sought to lay hands on him, but they feared the people, for they knew he had spoken this parable against them.
They got that much. That was, all right. So I know a few weeks ago I did kind of struggle going through here, and some of the times, honestly, when I struggle, maybe you didn't know, but I know inside, it's a lot of times because I really am not sharing exactly what the Lord's putting on my heart. It becomes that fear of man, and you worry that it's not going to be received. But one of the things going through here is, that I've learned and learning is Jesus wasn't received by everyone. And so it's not always the message that's going to be received that we need to hear. It's the message that needs to be heard. And I only say that because I can only share what the Lord spoke to me. And I'm not going to try to hide from it because it's beautiful if we surrender. So we talked a little bit about authority. And I know sometimes people question about this issue because man has always taken authority to a level that's not godly because they think it's their own authority. The only authority we have is authority that we've been given. And so I want to look at that today in light of this parable. This parable, if you look at when you go through the Word of God, where you are in your life, the Lord is going to meet you. I think we can all agree that. So if we come up and we open up the Scriptures and He can speak sometimes, it's the same words, but He can meet you in a different place. Because He wants to take you to Himself so that you can know Him, see Him more clearly. So as we come here, the question was, where do you get your authority from? And Jesus came out and said, I'm not going to tell you. Because you won't tell me where John's authority came from. Or really, the things that came before you ahead of time, you just didn't want to receive them. John's message, he came, repent for the kingdom of God is hand, to make paths straight for those to believe and know that Jesus was coming. And we know that he said, behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. That was John's message, and we see where that got John. He lost his head over it. You know, in our world today, we believe in many ways that being a Christian is an opportunity for prosperity. That if everything that we're walking through in with Christ, everything's going to be just fine. We're going to have perfect lives. Everything's going to go smoothly. Everybody who just gave their lives to the Lord more than for just a second knows that's not true. But deep down inside, we always base everything on the outside circumstances, the outside conditions to try to figure out if things are right. And if we're really surrendered and yielding to the Lord, we'll find out that when we're walking into things that are right, many times it will be misunderstood and rejected. And I think many times we don't do that because we're afraid to be rejected because we're not really sure if we're walking in reality or what we just feel for the moment. And do we know it's from the Lord? And so sometimes we do that, or we're worried about tomatoes, or we're worried about stones being thrown at us.
Oh, you forgot
to
announce tomatoes.
I didn't forget that. I was going to wait till the end, so I didn't have to worry about them. So I just want, as we go through here, and Jesus has taught, there's a lot of different lessons you can learn from this parable. We can learn from the stewards that are the servants who were sent. We can learn from different areas of this, but there's a main point that I think is important that Jesus tries to settle at home with them. And this is going to take us back a little bit. So he began to tell the people this parable. A parable is a heavenly story with earthly principles. It's trying to give you paint a picture for you so that the Holy Spirit can turn around and minister to you and bring light to it. And I think that it's going to come across, there's going to be a main point, but there's also going to be all other things in there that we can learn. But a certain man planted a vineyard, leased it to vine dressers, and went to a far country for a long time. Now, at vintage time, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that he might give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the vine dressers beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And again, another servant, and they beat him also, treated him shamefully, and sent him away empty-handed. And again, he sent a third, and he wounded him, and also cast him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, what shall I do? I'll send my beloved son. Probably they will respect him when they see him. But when the vine dressers saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard due to them, he will come and destroy those vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. First thing I want to share that we do know that, remember, this is a story, a picture. I'm pretty sure when it says that the vine dresser thought, if I sent my son, maybe they would respect him. He already knew. So it wasn't like, oh, gee, God didn't know something. Let's send Jesus to see if it works. That's never been God. The plan has always been from the beginning that Christ was going to come. And there's no holding back on that. So the vine dresser, what we have to look at here is we have a vineyard. We have the owner of the vineyard. And we have people who lease the vineyard. Right? We have servants from the owner. We have all kinds of things going here. The big issue when it comes down here is the vineyard that the Jewish people got. And probably understanding why they are where they are is there weren't Pharisees in the land before they went to Babylon. They went to Babylon because they were adulterous nation and went after other gods. And they didn't trust the Lord with the Sabbath. When they came back, to a place where God had given them a land, again, gave them back their land, but they didn't want to lose it for the same reason. So they drew off of legalism and they drew off trying to keep everybody restrained from running after other idols. So these people were holding on to the law. And if you read what they wrote about the law, they made it even worse. And so their promise, what they were leased, we see was land, right here. The land was leased to these people. And Jesus is talking to them about what they were given. With the answer, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and whoever falls on it will be broken. Whatever it falls on will be crushed to powder. You see, there is a point in time that the owner's coming. And that's the point of the story. And what you do with the stone determines the afterlife. But really, it determines much more than that. Am I going to fall on the stone and be broken? Or am I going to allow the stone to fall on me and crush me? Well, what's the stone? I said I wouldn't ask questions, sorry. It's Christ. Okay? I'm going to make it simple. 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock and followed them, and the rock was Christ. So, our decisions in this life are based on whether we want to fall onto Him and be broken so that He can lift us up and we will not be ashamed. Or we can wait till our final breath and never surrender and be crushed. Can we say that that's the moral of the, or the ending of the story? Maybe.
Score.
Yeah? Okay. All right. Now what happens in between time? When I read this, if you want to turn to Matthew 21. Because I always like to look at parallel items. And if you, verse 33, is it the same time as where we're looking at in Luke? And then I'll get to tell you where it took me. And we're going to read the first couple of verses because I think it's important. Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it and built a tower, and leased it and went to a far country. You know, so the landowner didn't just lease land to the children of Israel. He gave them a land flowing with milk and honey. And in many cases, he gave them the towers that they had to protect themselves when they destroyed and took it from the lands of the other people. When they were coming in with Joshua and the land was being turned over to them. But the land has been promised for a long time. And we see another vineyard that was planted and a man placed into it and given authority over it. And we're going to turn back and look in Genesis chapter 2. Because we see it's the same thing that happens all the time. The Lord does not put you in a place where He has not planted it, seeded it, hedged it, and given you a strong tower. There's no circumstance in your life, I'm getting ahead of myself, anyway, that's not there. You see, I'm just going to get to my main point so you can get it. They were promised land, sort of, were promised life. The land that they released, we've all been leased a new life. And we can act like these Pharisees, or we can fall on the sin, on the rock. And so I want to build this, just show you this, because I think it's beautiful, because the Lord is the one that planted it. He put Adam in the garden. Did it have any fruit in it? What did Adam have to do? Tending. Just watch what God does. Oh, and by the way, He got to walk with Him in the cool of the day too. And we know that because when He didn't surrender to the first lease agreement, and He chose not to follow the Lord and ate of the tree, we know that He was cast out. But He wasn't forgotten. Because we see that the landowner leased Him another opportunity and clothed Him later when He walked by faith. And you see, Adam started not in faith, and by the end of the chapter, next chapter, ended in faith. We have other lease contracts and things as well. And the reason why I say what I said there is that after they sinned, it said that Adam believed God, and then God clothed him. Right? That's what happens with all of us. We believe God, He clothes us in righteousness. Now, believers back then had this problem with law and had this problem with walking in and not judgment. And many times I believe we walk in this way because when we look at the pure law of liberty, we all many times don't feel like we're walking in it and walking in that reality that we project on others and think that they're not as well. We stop living by faith and we start not just judging ourselves rightly, so that we're not judged, we start looking at others and judging. And that's what the Pharisees were doing. They were running around, whose authority do you have? They asked John the Baptist the same question. By what authority do you come and share these things? You see, when people are living in a Pharisaical mindset, which I do a lot, I have that capacity, believe it or not. Not just the jokester, but many times I take the things that I think that the Lord, and then I try to push that on others. And that's not the Lord's desire. He planted the vine, the vineyard, and places you in it. He put them in a place where they had abundance of life. Everything was perfectly made, suited for Adam. When the children of Israel went in, it was suited for them as well. Abram, you know how many times he got called? He was called more than once to go to the land of Canaan. He was called from Ur of the Chaldees, and he started to go and made it to Haran, and then God called him again and brought him. So many times in the first calling, it's not acted properly, but as the Lord continues to call, which is awesome because we see the faithfulness of His continued calling and calling you to Himself. If you blew it earlier today, let's get up and walk together. And I know this because if you look at the in Matthew again, and we're going back up to verses 28. Because from the question of authority to the parable in Luke, there's this little parable in here of the two sons. And I think it's very poignant for us and very important because he says, what do you think? A man had two sons and he came to the first and said, go work in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward regretted it and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of these two did the will of the Father? The first, right? Who here usually hears from the Lord and says, nope? Oh, thank you for being honest. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm me all the time. Because he has to settle it in my heart. Adam was told, be fruitful and multiply. It didn't happen until after the fall, until belief came. He walked out. There was something neat in there. He was given a companion, right? To fulfill God's purposes. We've been given a companion, which is the Holy Spirit, so that we can bear forth fruit unto God. And that this is the life. This is the opportunity. This is what we've been leased. We have time. They had a land. The thing about the land was, that was their possession. But in the land, they had to possess it. Which means they had to live. They had to walk out the life that God had already given them the land for. And so we have, and I always look at what God said to Abraham. Abraham, look. Wherever you walk, I give it to you. Do you know every moment that you take a walk that God's given you that opportunity to possess that possession of a life with Him at that moment? That it's been filtered through His hands, whatever circumstances that are going on, that He has put you in a place in a garden where your head's to bow, where you have a strong tower that you can run to and be safe. And it will be fruitful and multiply. This is the life the Lord has set before us. This is the opportunity. But we can't be like the Pharisees and question His authority. And we can't go back to hold on to a promise He gave me 20 years ago. Or I can't hold on to my life with Christ today on a confession I made 26 years ago. Did He take me at my word? Yes. But what's going to happen if nothing in my life supports that confession? I'm going to be legalistic. I'm going to try to tell everybody and live in a way that everybody might think I'm living properly. But you're going to find, if you look down deep in and we see all the time that the Pharisees and the people of God and His priests weren't living unto the Lord. Not saying I'm perfect. I'm just saying as we yield to our time. Because we're not promised tomorrow. And every moment that the Lord gives us here on this earth is a beautiful opportunity to walk with Him and to know Him in His garden. In this world where He's provided for us. Now it's not as easy with Adam because he could have just tended it. But now he has to work with it with the sweat of his brow. But it still produces life for him. And it's all from the Lord. And so if we surrender our time and we yield and we stop holding on to confessions. I really want to be like Paul. I forget the things behind me. Right? Yeah, Paul was a legalist. Paul was a Pharisee. So guess what? This message got out and they understood it eventually. Paul didn't understand it for a while. Until the Lord revealed Himself to him. And that's what it takes for each of us to come to a place when He reveals Himself to us to surrender, to yield to Him. Well, maybe I should read some of my verses. Well, you know, the Lord, we're told in Hebrews, He swore to a promise to Abraham. But He couldn't find someone that He could make that covenant with. So He had to swear by no other. And that was by Himself. So even with the covenant that God has made with you, not for a land, but for a life, it's a covenant between Him and His Son. Of the work that was completed on the cross and finished. It's a life given. It's a life of opportunity. That's why we have to fall on the rock. That's why we have to come to the rock and receive Him. Ephesians tells us, Ephesians 5:14-17 says, "Awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the Lord, will of the Lord is." And I think all of us in here many times, that's our heart's desire, isn't it? Understand what the will of the Lord is. And I think it comes through understanding what you've been leased and given, and that is the time you have here will determine where you spend eternity, which I know most of you in your, I know your confessions, but the only thing I can do is encourage you to don't hold on to your confession for Christ, hold on to Christ for your confession. To keep holding on to Him for today's confession. Don't hold on to your one when you came to Him, because it should be growing. Our testimony shouldn't be, Jesus did for me 26 years ago to give me life. I should say, today when I woke up, He gave me breath. That's the testimony of the faithfulness of God. That He wants to reveal Himself to you so that He can show Himself strong on your behalf. That He can meet the world that as you walk out, as you walk into this garden and your circumstances, there should be something different. And that is the hope that we have as an anchor to our soul. Look, I've been in the cancer ward, and guess who's there? There's rich people, there's poor people, there's single mothers, there's Jewish people, there's Muslims, there's Congress. Guess what? Life happens to everyone. In every circumstance. But the difference is how does the Lord sustain you as you enter and go through life? Am I holding on to Him for that life? So that when people see your life, they can come up and ask for you for the reason, the hope that you have from within? You see, if I don't go through the same circumstances as someone else, they're not going to see the difference of holding, what the difference means to hold on to Christ. As He's holding on to you. I don't have answers with death, but I have Christ and I have life. And I know that as each of us enter into that life with Christ, we don't have to worry about death. There is no more death. Because He paid it. It's to be absent from the body, to be present from the Lord. We've been offered life. Some of it's just here now. But we get to see Jesus even more, and in some ways here now, that you won't get to see Him in heaven. You know that, right? Because there won't be any more tears or sorrows, so how can we cry out and hold on to the One who comforts us? You know, so there's areas that Christ can reveal you Himself to you here, now, today, as you walk with Him, that you might not get to see in heaven. But the purpose is so that the people realize that it's not your garden. You're just a leasee. My time here is short. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Do we really believe sufficient for the day's trouble, or enough troubles for the day? I mean, if you start adding them up, it's just like, I don't even want to wake up tomorrow. But guess what? I don't have to look at the problems. I have a solution. One that says, I promise to care for you and provide and meet you. And not just leave you to yourself. To lead you and guide you. As a little child. You just need to surrender. We just need to yield. And rest in Him. You know, in Ephesians it says to understand what the will of the Lord is. The cool thing is, Paul also gives us the answer. That's what's awesome about walking with the Lord, that He doesn't just show you problems and issues in your life. There's always the answer. There's always that same answer. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That's God's will for your life. Your sanctification. For you to take what He's given you and to surrender it back to Him and say, it's not my life that You've given me, but it's the life that You have that you want to live through me. To surrender and to yield to Him. The cool thing is He tells you His will is your sanctification, but He doesn't count on you to be sanctified. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says that He has become for us the wisdom of God and sanctification. You see, everything that you're longing for comes in a person. Your sanctification that you're going after is the will of God, is the rock you're falling on, the cornerstone. And we don't, it's great to get the cornerstone set at the right time. I don't think you want to put it, you don't put it in at the end, right? I think some people around here put stuff in wrong. But anyway, it starts with the cornerstone. Your relationship starts with Christ, because Christ started it from the beginning when He said, "Let there be." And He's given you an opportunity just to walk with Him ever since. And surrender and to yield. And as the fruit comes, you know, He did send the servants. What happened to them? They were accepted with loving arms. When you surrender your life to Jesus, and He puts you in a place where you have to live, and you're walking in the hope of Christ that anchor to your soul, guess what? More than likely, you're not going to be accepted. It might be safer here, but I can tell you this. Peter looked at Jesus and said, "Not so." So there's many times even believers will hold back because they're not seeing where the Lord's taking. It's an individual walk with Christ. It's beautiful. It's unique. And He wants to reveal Himself to you in a sweet way that maybe no one else knows, so you can share. That's what's key. The Lord doesn't give you fruit just to partake. He gives it to partake and to share and to give out. Jesus wants you to take of what He's given you, of Himself to you, and share it with everyone around you. That's all we can do. Walk, loving Jesus, continue to fall on the rock and surrender. That's your authority. Or you have the authority to live your life on your own and figure it out. It's crushing. But your authority is to yield, to let, to surrender, and most importantly, say thank you. That's the will of God for you, to be thankful. Right? And I know that this is only a work that can happen of Him doing it in us. But I have to realize it's not my vineyard. It's not my life to live. I laid down my life when I surrendered. And every day I have to get up and I don't have to recommit for salvation. I need to recommit in my own heart. To purpose in your heart not to defile, or to live in a way that's just surrendered to the Lord. And yielding just to His moment by moment decisions. And I only have one example, and that is the beginning of the year the Lord told me to do a garden. And you're going to get a teaching on a garden if I'm allowed to share it at some point, when He settles it in my heart. But the cool thing about it is, believer said, "What are you doing a garden for? You don't like vegetables, right?" I'm like, "I don't know." But guess what? As I stepped out and walked with the Lord, He's given me little things like, "Well, why are you doing this?" And many didn't understand. I mean, it's hard to explain the way the garden set the different things. It might not have felt like it was the Lord, but now that I get to get back on it, you know what's cool? Is I get to get fruit from my garden. But you know what's been better? Is I get to see Jesus in my garden when I get up and walk with Him. And He shows me the process of life. And so there's nothing better than, all I can say to you is, it might not seem spiritual, but everything is. And when the Lord just places just something little on your heart, step in it, walk in it, and He'll be faithful. Surrender, yield, trust Him. And you're going to see the beauty of a life of a living God working in and through you to touch the world around you. But it's for you. He didn't tell me to plant a garden to get fruit. He wanted me to plant a garden so that I might know Him. And as I get to know Him, I get to enjoy the fruit more. Because it's even sweeter. And guess what? I got some weird looking fruit. I got an 8-pound baby. I bet my pumpkin's bigger than your grand baby coming. Unless it stays in there too. It's like this big. But, I mean, I'm walking through a garden. And I'm sorry, but you just walk through a garden and you look over and there's a watermelon hanging from an azalea bush.
That is weird.
You know, it's just, but God will show up in mysterious ways. And you might find yourself in a place out of the ordinary, but there's going to be a fruit of Christ coming off that somebody can see. Like, wow, where'd that come from? And so just be sensitive and yield and trust Him. Because He's working. He's faithful. He doesn't trust you with it because yet he trusts Himself with you. Because He loves you and He cares for you. And He wants you to enjoy life. It's not going to be easy, but we need to come to a place where, like Paul, the life that I now live, I live by faith in Christ. And that power comes from Christ. It's all about Jesus. He is the author and finisher, the beginning, the end. And if you want to keep a hold of your first love, and I did forget something to bring you all back to why I got here, because I do this a lot, because I've been thinking about this stuff. When Jesus said, whoever... this stone fall, what it reminded me of is it took me right to Revelation in 2 and 3. He's whoever has an ear, let him hear. And so that's kind of why the Lord just always wanted to bring, he who has an ear, let him hear. I can't tell you what to do with this. I can't even tell you if I believe this is God and the authority that's coming from His Word. But it's up for you to decide. You have to surrender and yield and trust and rest in Him. You have to fall on Him. And I know most of you have, but I want to keep falling. Though a righteous man falls 7 times, the Lord will lift him up. Keep falling on Jesus. He'll keep lifting you up. Draw near to Him. He'll draw near to you. And I think that's it, as far as I can tell. Any thoughts? Can I ask one?
I don't know about other people. He doesn't mind causing waves. I'm more the type who does. And sometimes it's hard to
do. You just called waves! Whoa!
You know, my family or certain people, it's difficult to talk about Jesus and to just be, I don't mean to be a wrecking ball, or, you know, but I did my fair damage, you know, as a young Christian, but sometimes, you know, because I mean, I think it's the same people, the same everywhere. I was a Californian, to each his own. Let me see how to put this, so that you're the least offended. You know, and I get so wishy-washy, just to be true to Jesus, and because there's so much power to share that. I don't mean religion, but I mean really the Lord and what He does in our lives. It was hard for me to, but it's important. Otherwise, you're like, what was she talking about? I didn't get nothing, you know? This would be to share that. And that was really good.
Well, I've never known Him to make waves. I don't understand. I think He's fun to go out and share Christ with. Actually, well, anyway. Any thoughts? If you want to study the rock, it's going to be a fun first murder weapon, first life. It's just pretty cool when you start studying out the rock. The rock in the wrong hands can put a brother to death. The rock in the right hands can bring life. And how you use it probably depends on how well you know it. Because David used rocks to kill, to bring glory and honor to God, and Abel got killed by him because somebody was envious. So, we shall see. Study it and look at it. It's fun. Anything else? I guess not. All right, let's pray. But Father, just pray, Father, that you would just, Lord, not just meet us here, but help us to realize you're with us wherever we go. Or that we don't have to strive and struggle, but we can rest and come to you and learn from you, for you're meek and lowly and gentle at heart. And we just thank you for your love and care. We just ask that you would shine your light through our lives. Well, shine your light in our lives so that we might know you, that it can shine forth from our lives. And that people might see Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name.